Well, you cannot say that we don't have a lot of range here at Action Church. Last month, we talked about wrestling all month and butched it up around here a little bit. Played wrestling clips all month. Disney princesses this morning. Ironically, I needed a lot of coaching to do the wrestling series. Give us a princess wave, Kenna. Kenna gave us, yes. Gave me lots of coaching. I need no help on the Disney princesses because I'm an expert. I've got a daughter, I've spent, and like she grew out of them, I did not maybe, but I really didn't call you here this morning to talk to you about Disney princesses, but I do want to talk to you, not even about a princess, I believe it's a duchess. My mother-in-law would tell me she's from England, but I didn't bother about this, but I wanted to talk to you about a real live Cinderella story. In fact, if you look at this picture, this is of Meghan Markle, who became Duchess Meghan, who married Prince Harry, who doesn't have a last name. He's just Prince Harry. I guess that's how it works. And other than like the hair color being switched, I think this is like actually the picture and the red pants. Those are weird. But I want to talk to you about them this morning because I was thinking, like as close as you can get to a Cinderella story, not the hairband, the actual, you know, princess, is the story of Meghan and Harry. An American, one of only two Americans who's ever married into the royal family. She was an actress, some TV or some movie credits, but a beautiful actress who was on a lot of very popular shows. You might know her from Suits or Fringe, who married a prince and became royalty and had a royal baby, you know, who's in the line, carry the one. I don't know how the English thing works. I know I'm American. But like, she's had a royal baby who's in the line to be the King of England. And so it's really the most amazing sort of a princess story you can imagine. First or second American, she's the first English royal ever to come from a mixed heritage. Her mom's African American. It's just this story that captivated everyone in 2018. And I shouldn't say until because it still captivates people, but 2 weeks ago, a documentary was released, and there was an interview in it. And you know, maybe it didn't hit our world a lot. Why I know about it, I don't know. Maybe because my iPad knows I love Disney princesses so much, it told me in the news. That's the way things work. If you talk about something, it shows up, they're listening. But for some reason, it made my news feed. And so I want to share with you next, like a real live interview with Meghan, Duchess Meghan of Sussex, about what happens after dreams, as we heard in the Cinderella ending, like dream, what if dreams really do come true? Well, that happened to Duchess Meghan, and here's how the interview went that pretty much shocked the English world, at least.
Okay.
So I bring you that not to discount that what she's saying is absolutely true. It's got to be tough to be the princess, the duchess. I keep saying princess, it's the duchess. Don't know the difference, but bear with me. I didn't know anything about wrestling, and you listened to me last month, so you should listen to me about this. But anyway, like, I don't discount that. And those of you who have had your first child, I mean, you know that's hard. That's true, right? And being newlywed, not easy. And doing it in the public spotlight, very true. Like, none of the things she's saying are incorrect. But it bears the question kind of like, wow, what happens if you're a little girl watching Disney movies, as everybody in America is, and then you grow up to be a famous and beautiful actress, a well-known actress, and then you marry, I mean, this is a pretty small job description, and then you marry the Prince of England, and you become royalty, and then you have a royal baby. And in an interview a year into your marriage, and this is why it kind of rocked the, you know, the tabloids in Britain, you go, you know what? This is hard, and I'm not okay. And you know, all of a sudden the headlines are unhappy princess, and you know, but it bears sort of that question that we have to ask, like, why is there always on the other hand? Like, yeah, you grow up to be the princess, yeah, you grow up and all your dreams come true, but on the other hand, it's really tough. And on the other hand, it doesn't make you as happy as you imagine. And on the other hand, whoo, I don't know if I can do this. You kind of see that. I mean, it's part of that, like, you want to go, oh my God, you're a princess. And a lot of people did. Like, you don't know what it's like to be a single mom, or you don't know what it's like to, like, try to work two jobs and be a mom and a newlywed. Like, that's hard. But you could see it in her eyes. Like, you could see it on her face. Like, she really was struggling. Like, that's not easy. And so what happens, you know, I've been thinking through this thing of like, what happens, like, with the other hand, because the other hand comes for all of us, not just those of us who grow up to be princesses, but all of us have or will in the future experience that moment when our dream comes true, that thing we wanted, hey, we're finally married, or hey, we got that job at that firm, you know, we're a lawyer now, or hey, we got the promotion to marketing, or hey, you know, like, I'm a mom now, like, all of the things we dreamed of. And then on the other hand, you go, ooh, that didn't turn out nearly the way I thought it would. Like, oh man. So even if you're the Duchess of Suffolk or Suffolk or whatever, it sounds pretty fancy, but you could be unhappy. And you could be not nearly as happy as anyone else could imagine, because anyone else from the outside go, you're a famous, rich actress who's beautiful and marries a prince, and now you're part of royalty, and you're not happy. Well, boo-hoo. Well, guess what? That's a real thing. And so if it can happen to her, it can happen to all of us, because that's true. And I'm going to quote something from Dave Chappelle from his newest, and yeah, I can do that. This actually works. I know this is a scary moment. It's kind of like, you know, on The Office where he quotes, it's not going to turn out like that, I promise you. But Dave Chappelle opener in his new Sticks and Stones, he said, Anthony Bourdain had the greatest job that showbiz has ever produced. This man flew around the world and ate delicious meals with outstanding people. That man, with that job, hung himself in a luxury suite in France. And that's the way he sort of set up the premise of his new series. And you go, yeah, how does that happen? How is it possible that on the outside, you could have everything that any, not just that you would want, but that anyone could possibly want, and yet not be happy? I mean, why is there always the other hand? Why is it like that when we get that thing that we want, or that, you know, we're finally there, we get the amount of money we always thought, like, that's the worst thing, when you actually get the amount of money that you thought would make you happy, and you're like, dang it, it's going to take three times that much, it's too new, like, it's just amazing. So here's the thing, I don't think that we can necessarily change the hand we are dealt, if you want to mix your metaphors a little bit. Like, 2 weeks ago we talked about in wrestling that down position, and everybody looks at that down position where the guy starts on the bottom, and you go, well, that's unfair, why'd the referee make him start there? And then I found out from Kenna, like, oh, it has nothing to do with the referee, even though it's called the referee's position. It's actually based on the roll of the, or flip of the coin, or choice. So chance or choice determine much of our life. Even though God is in control, I fully believe God is in control, and I fully believe God has a hand in history. But Scripture and Scripture stories and life would tell us that much of our hand that we are dealt is our choices and chances that come along, and then God moves through that in a way that we can't even imagine because we think we have to control everything to get an outcome. Oh, God doesn't. He can allow 32 choices, and you'll still wind up where he wants you because he is God. And so we really can't, any of us, whatever you're, even if you're not a Christian this morning, if you're not a Bible person like I am, like, you didn't choose where you were born, and you didn't choose what you looked like, and you didn't choose your genetic background, and you didn't choose, let's take away all of that, you didn't choose the time you were born. I mean, what's the odds we're born in this time with these technologies, with this set of problems and opportunities? I mean, we didn't choose any of that. So you can't change that, but what if, here's what I want to talk to you about this month. Like, what if we could change the other hand? Like, the other hand where we go, hey, I'm a dad now, and that's amazing. Like, I thought I always wanted. On the other hand, you can't, Craig, I won't rat you out, but I heard a great conversation last night at a party where this guy's going, there's nothing better than having kids, and it will ruin your life, you know, and you're like, yes, you're right, you know, and so it's so funny. Like, that's true. Like, you get what you want, what you ultimately desire, and then you go, on the other hand. And I don't think we can change a lot of the things we're dealt. That's just life. Like, you're not going to increase. The Bible says, and pretty true, you can test this out. You can't increase your height. You know, you just can't. Like, it's funny, and it's funny that the Bible would say that, you know, that Jesus would say that, because a lot of other things he could say, like, wouldn't be true now due to science. But that's still true. Like, you're not going to significantly change your height. And somebody's going to go, they can cut your bones and stretch you. I get that. Yeah, I know that. You go get the surgery and then come back and tell me how that. But you can't increase your height. So, but what if we could change the other hand? And since it's November, and since I love being dumb, what if we made it a hand turkey? I am so excited about this. I've been keeping this secret for weeks. Like, on the other hand, turkey. That's how we're going to remember it, because there's nothing better than a hand turkey. So this whole series, thank you. Tyler's been working with me all week. I'm going, don't put any of the turkey on. Like, at any real church, that would be no big deal. I'm like, don't reveal the hand turkey until later. So he even put up the posters after you guys came in here, because we didn't want to tell you. Never mind, that was just for me. But I'm excited about, we're going to use, on the other hand, turkey to remember this. Now, I'm going to give you, this is a bad way of teaching. Like, I'm going to give you the answer for the test at the very beginning, and then I'm going to tell you why it doesn't help you. This is like the open book test that, like, you go, hey, we get the open book. And I remember, like, our good teachers would just make you crazy like that. They're going, you can use your book. But they were so smart, like, they would frame the questions in the way that you had to know the book to find it, so it really just kind of, And so this is kind of like this, like, I'm going to give you the answers to this entire series, so if you truly understood this and could integrate this, honestly, you don't have to come back for a month, like, which is terrible marketing for a church, but here's the thing about it, you won't, because we all need help in this, but I'm just going to read you the answer, because the scripture's smarter than I am, and the answer is this, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And quite frankly, even if you don't belong to Christ Jesus this morning, this will still work. And I'm not saying that because, I do think the Bible's smarter than any of us. But they studied this, like, places that are not like you think of UC Berkeley as exactly, you know, it's not exactly a seminary, but they have a whole area of the college now where they're like studying gratitude, and they're realizing that, like, oh, and I love when things like this happen. Like, they started in the 70s doing these studies, and they found that, now they would never tell you this, they would probably lose all funding and have to burn the school down if they said that, but that the Bible is right, because they literally found that gratitude is one of the most important things you can have in your life. Changes your social, like, it not only makes life more enjoyable, but studies have found it makes people enjoy being around you, which also makes your life more enjoyable. So it's pretty, and they say the health benefits are real. And it changes everything. I mean, you think about, like, the whole on the other hand thing, like, gratitude, and here's the why it doesn't, we're not going to say the word much this month. Honestly, I'm going to not say gratitude all the time, because because it's something that we all think we know how to do. You know, it's like we all think we know how to dance and we all think we know how to fight, and neither one of those things are true. But somehow drinking helps us do both. It's not going to work. Like, but that's the way it is with gratitude. You would say, if we go, oh, I'm just going to be grateful this month, I know exactly how to do that, but you and I don't. But it's a real thing. And it's life-changing. I mean, think about this. Like, if we could change the other hand where we go, yeah, I'm one in a billion who got to marry, you know, not me personally. I'm speaking for Megan, you know, like, and here's why this is bad, because what people did and why they reacted harshly to her, and I don't want to pile on, was kind of like the gratitude factor as you go, do you not realize that you have a one in a billion life and so many other people have it harder than you and so many other people would, you know, kill to have your problems? But here's the thing. The answer is no, we do not. No, we do not know that. And all of us are guilty of that. We might not be the Duchess of Suffolk, but we have something in our life that we're complaining about and somebody from the outside is going, oh my goodness, I would kill to have that problem. You know, oh, my kids are driving me crazy. I wish I could have kids. Oh, you know, you can't believe the taxes I'm dealing with. I would like to pay taxes. I swear I would. I've never said that. But somebody could say that, you know. Like, and so being grateful is not nearly as easy as it sounds. Even though you and I know the answer and we won't sort of, but like if we could just be grateful in every situation like the Bible says. If somehow we could like take a shot of Bible juice and just go, oh, now I'm grateful, it would solve all of those things. Because when you start feeling bad, like, oh, these kids, it's like, oh, but I'm grateful. And you could really feel that, not just say that to yourself. Or like, oh, this job, man, how is this job? It's like, oh, but I'm so grateful, man. It could fix everything, but it's so, so hard to do. And it's one of those things that's like learning like kickboxing or like really good golfing, not just walking around and whacking stuff with a golf club, but like being a really good scratch golfer. Like it's not even something I don't think that you can learn, you know, in a class or, you know, it's like you're going to have to do this a lot. And that's why I struggle with, like, you have to be on it all the time to do it. And that's like, I'm trying to, oh, how do we do this? Because it's just difficult to live a grateful life. It's so easy to get used to the good and notice the bad. You know, I was talking to the guys out, we had our little huddle before service, and I'm like, so thankful, like, stuff going on, like, people cleaning up and, you know, the Bridge of Hope dinner. And I said, how easy is it? Like, I've been here, you know, at Action Church for over 10 years, and all of a sudden you just go, oh yeah, you know, people got together and, you know, gave money to an organization that helps bring homeless young women to with kids to out of that situation, and we had a graduation here, and volunteers came, and, you know, and church people gave and paid for it, and we had the graduation in the building that someone gave us that we were able to remodel, and then people were fixing up this week, and it's like, all those things are amazing, but you and I can easily go, yeah, that's the way it works around here. And that's so ungrateful, but it's so easy to do. And I'm so guilty of that. And it bleeds over into every area of my life. And if you'll start thinking about it this month, like, ooh, wow, I think I do that too. And so even though it's very difficult, I won't lie to you, it's very difficult. I think it's also simple. There's a lot of things like that that are very difficult and simple. Like, it's like, we know what, you know, it's like fitness and weight loss and all those things. Like, it's not that complicated. It's just hard. And that's the way this is. But it is possible. So what I thought we would do is sort of break it down into four questions that we could ask ourselves on our hand turkey. That makes everything better. Like, if I said on the other hand, and you had just look at your hand and go, 1, 2, 3, 4, that would be boring. But if you had a hand turkey and I don't want to give anything away, but I think we're going to have a craft day. See, in most churches, like, your kids will bring you some crappy craft. What if we brought crafts to our kids? And think how big our hand turkeys are. Anyway, I don't want to give too much away, but that's what I'm thinking. But like, if you can imagine your hand turkey, like, if we could give you four, and you're like, why not five? Oh, this is the hand turkey head, and I only have 4 weeks. So that's just the way it's going to be. So forget about it. This is the thumb is not a finger anyway. So that's just the way it's going to work. So we're going to have four questions that I think will help us. And here's where I want to start, because I read this a few weeks ago, And actually, I heard him say it in an interview this week. Max Lucado, who's such a great writer, reading this book. I'm not through it. Like, I'll probably get to the end of this book, and I'll be like, dang it, I was wrong about all the stuff I taught you. And then I'll come back. I'll apologize, I promise. So I haven't finished this book, you know, reading it as a family. But in an interview I heard with him, or I heard a couple weeks ago, he said these words. He said, high expectations are the enemy of gratitude. And I was like, that is true. It just struck me like, okay, that's 100% true, right? Like, and let me just make this, I think it's true, except for pregnancy. Unexpected is always better, right? Like, and even that can be pretty cool, just not always, right? But other than that, like, think about this. Would you rather have, like, an unexpected gift or one that you, like, were waiting for? You know, like, I don't know how your family is. Like, we're like, here's what I want for Christmas. I want it delivered under the tree and wrapped. Like, there's very few, we're not a surprisey family. And it drives people from the outside to come in like, you know, I need a gift card with 125 left by the chimney. Like, it's like, we're not good at surprises. But it is, like, better, isn't it, when you get a surprise. And you're like, I had no idea. I mean, like, one year, Reagan and Michelle got me the little BB-8 droid that you could roll with your phone, which I had no idea even, like, I could have. And it's a toy. I was 49, and I thought it was amazing. You know, it was, like, crazy. So I mean, think about this. Like, getting $20, I don't know about you, it's like, that's a sheets run. Like, no, but finding $20 in your, you know, coat at the next year is, like, it feels like Slumdog Millionaire. Like, it's amazing. Like, if you found money in your pocket, it's like, I am so rich. This is amazing. You know, and it's like all of those things are true. Unexpected compliments. Like, if you put a new outfit on or something, you're just expecting it, and somebody goes, hey, that's cool. I like this. You know, that's good. But, like, it's just when someone notices something you do or something when it's unexpected, I mean, it's always, always, always better. And so here's what I've come to think, and I've been thinking about this a lot. I think that expectations kind of round down our happiness. And then they have, you know, so it's like, that's bad. So if you expect something and then you get it, it's not as good as if you don't expect it, right? And it rounds it down. You know down rounders, right? Like, down rounders are your friend who will always, like, you say something, they'll round down. I'm like, man, there was like 1,500 people at this concert. And they're like, it only seats 1,390. And you're like, okay. You know, or like, hey, man, I made $20,000 on this show. They're like, it was 19,850. So the down rounders that are your friends or your life, like those people, that's what expectation does. It just rounds it down, right? Like, it's still good. Like, you got the iPad for Christmas, or you got the promotion, or you've got the, you know, whatever it was. But you already expected it, so it's not the same, right? It's like, okay, yeah, I got what I expected, so that's good. And then, so it's like, on one hand, like, even if you get it, here's what I was thinking about expectations, and Max Lucado was so brilliant laying this out. He's like, even if you get it, it's less because you already expected it. It's not unexpected. And if you don't, oh my goodness, now we're mad, right? Like, I didn't get the promotion that I expected. I didn't get the compliment that I shouldn't have because I look amazing. You know, like, I didn't get the notice for the hard work I did, and I didn't get any of the things I expected. And so all of a sudden we're mad and we're angry, and all of a sudden what happens? Oh, it doesn't hurt everybody around us like we think it does, except indirectly, because we're unhappy and miserable because of our expectations. Isn't that amazing? Like, I was like, Max Lucado, you are a genius. But the only problem with that is I was like, well, how do we fix that? And then I'm like, I got to go up here and go, lower your expectations. That ought to be great. Like, I was like, that sucks. Like, here's the thing. We got the new iPhone coming out. It's going to be 10% slower. Going to cost more. Less cameras. You know what I mean? Like, we don't live like that as America. We always expect everything to be more awesome. I mean, think about it. Like, TVs, like, they used to cost, like, $3,000, and they were like this big and they were this deep, and like now all of a sudden, like, I'm not paying $400 for a 70-inch, you know, like, it's just crazy. Like, we expect more for less all the time, and we can't even imagine something scaling back. Like, guess what? Our new model car has less horsepower and gets worse gas mileage. Like, you would never go for that. It has to go up. It can't go down. And so I was like, you know, hey, we got a bonus coming out this year, and it's only 20% less than last year. You know, like, I was thinking, like, how am I going to sell this idea to Action Church folks? Because I think they're going to be, their expectations are not going to be bad. You know, like, this does not seem, you know, just expect less. And it's true. Like, if you could expect less, you would be happier. But we're not going to do that, right? Like, we're never going to do that. It's just not doable. And even if it is, it's hard to quantify. Like, how do you lower, you know, like, I expect that less. So now here's the good news. Here's the good news. Max Lucado was brilliant, but the Bible's even more brilliant. And so I don't have to tell you that. Like, that's, here's what Proverbs, we believe this was King Solomon said these words. The hopes of the godly result in happiness, but the expectations of the wicked come to nothing. Ooh. See, that is pretty cool, I think. I was like, when I read that, I was like, oh my goodness, I can sell that. Because I want you to notice, like, how, because it's not going lower your expectations or have no, I think having no expectations as a human is impossible. And I think lowering your expectations is also close to impossible because it's just so hard to do that and figure that out. But this is saying you could have hope, but not expectation. Now, if you read the dictionary is wrong, because, according to me. But the dictionary makes them pretty much the same. But I don't think that's true, especially the way that this writer was using it. Because if you think about it, he was like, clearly, like, one was good and one was bad. And you're like, how can that be? But it is true. It is true. I was like, even though I can't define it, and even though I go to my dictionary on my phone and go, they seem like, in fact, Hope said expecting something. I'm like, you can't say that. It ruins my sermon. But here's the thing. Like, I was thinking, like, oh, but the way the writer was using it, this is absolutely true. And you and I know this. Hoping for an iPad and then getting one or not getting one this Christmas is a different thing than expecting one, right? Because it, you're like, oh, I don't really think I, you know, it's not really in the budget, but wouldn't it be great if I got this iPad? And then if you get it, you'd be more happy. And if you didn't get it, you're like, well, it wasn't in the budget. Maybe next year, right? You know, like hoping for a promotion. Like, I hope they notice my hard work. And if you get the promotion, you're super stoked. Like, yeah, my hopes and dreams, they came true. And if you don't, you're like, well, maybe next year. Like, maybe in the future. But if you expect a promotion and you expect people to notice your hard work and you expect people to notice what a great person you are and then they don't, you're mad and you're sad. And if I was a good preacher, I'd have another rhyming thing that said, like, and no one's glad. It doesn't work. But anyway, like, I was thinking, like, there's a difference. And you and I know that. And for you married folks, I'll give you one example that trumps everything. Hoping for sex and expecting sex, two different things. I'll just say right there, so you know that's true. It's a different thing. So this guy was right. So now here's where I'm going to give you a brilliant quote that I made up. So I quote myself in this because I made my own. You can tell me if it's brilliant later or not, but I don't care. I don't have any expectation, but I hope. Because I was thinking, like, how do you tell the difference? And I think this is it, or at least this is the example, this is the definition I'm going to make. Hope is just expectations without an expiration date, right? I can hope for a promotion, or I can hope that having children will change my life in a positive way and that I'll experience something that I'm missing. Like, I can hope that, and then when diapers come and terrible twos and terrible threes and terrible fours and terrible, and like everybody goes, oh, it's just terrible twos, and you're like, that kid's eight. You know, so it's like, when those things come, you could hope through all of that, like someday. I think the correct age is like 35, 36. Chris and I get pretty along, pretty good at work. So 36, it's the perfect age. Eventually, you know, it could happen. You could like go, oh, this is great, being a dad, being a mom. No, it could happen before that. But here's the thing, like hopes don't have an expiration date. Like, I hope to get that promotion, or I hope to get that iPad, or I hope my kids will appreciate me, or I hope my husband will appreciate me, or I hope that, you know, I became the Duchess of Suffolk. I hope that becomes, like, the most amazing thing that could happen in my life. Doesn't feel like it now. I'm just being hounded by the tabloids, but you could have hope But it seems like once you put a like sort of a date on it, right? Doesn't that change it? It turns it into an expectation. Like you go, this Christmas, I better get an iPad, right? Like all of a sudden now you either get it and you're like, yeah, sure, I got my iPad. Or you're ripped on Christmas, you know, like you're like so mad, like can't believe what I got. I didn't get. But see, that's the thing, like expectations kill it, and we don't have to use them. We don't have to have expectations. We could transfer them, and we could have hope. So I want the band to come back up here, and wow, I'm really excited to hear what they're going to do next. So guys, take your places, but we could end like this, I think. As we're working on like our on the other hand turkey, it only works if you say it like that. You could think like, I'm not nearly as happy in life as I would like to be. I'm not nearly, you know, like I'm getting the things that I wanted, but I don't seem to get the joy that I thought I would. And I can't really change a lot of the things that are happening to me or I'm doing. And so I know that's like just sort of beyond my control. But I think the first question we should ask ourselves this week is this question. Am I hoping? That's okay. In fact, it's a wonderful thing to hope. It's a wonderful thing to hope for something better. It's a wonderful thing to hope for that compliment that just hasn't been coming, to hope for that recognition, to hope for fulfillment, to hope for like love everlasting, you know, when all your dreams come true and live out. It's wonderful to hope for that. But man, expecting will ruin your life. There's just no winning. There's no winning the expectation game because it will round down your happiness when you get it. And it will absolutely make you so miserable to be around when you don't. And so, first question this week is this, you know, am I hoping or am I expecting? And you can figure it out. It's not like some crazy metaphysical, philosophical. It's like, do I have an expiration date on my hope? And that turns it into an expectation. So I want to pray with you. And I want to struggle. No, we said we were going to wrestle. We're not struggling anymore. Last month we decided to wrestle. Not so. We're going to wrestle with this. I'm going to wrestle with you because I'm bad at this. But I want to pray for you. And then we'll have some more music. Dear Jesus, God in heaven, help us to live grateful lives. And God, we are... I guess if we're honest, we have so very much as Americans. Probably never been a better time to be alive in so many ways, like the riches we have and the freedoms we have and the medical technology that we have and the ability to communicate and the ability to entertain ourselves. We have like everything that people couldn't even dreamed of. But yet we're not very happy. And God, I think it's because we're also not very grateful. And so God, teach us and guide us. And God, help everyone here to live a happier, more fulfilled life by putting our hopes in you and not in things and not in people and not in political parties and not in any of the things that this world can offer. God, we appreciate you so much. Thanks for the gift of your son. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, let's meet back here next week and bring a friend, because next week, I'm going to give you the middle finger. I've been waiting to say that all week.